Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of HP Critical. It's a podcast where my friends and I talk all things gaming. I am Jarrell, and I am joined by Brandon.
Hello, everyone. Happy holidays.
And Christy.
Hi, everybody.
And Gabe.
Good evening.
So this is going to be the last HP Critical podcast for the holiday season, before the holiday season, and for 2023. We will come back in 2024 with new co-hosts, new sponsors, everybody here is getting fired, and new, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I'm
kidding. All right, well, I miss talking to Aliyah, so, you know.
Just kidding. Just some holiday.
I mean, that's right in line with the rest of the gaming industry.
Well, that wasn't fun. I take that back. It was a joke. You'll see us, but you might see some old and new faces coming 2024. We'll also be back with some new sponsors, but sponsors mean that we have to be more responsible. Sponsors, responsible. So we'll definitely be uploading much more in the new year than we have this year. This year's been kind of crazy for all of us, but yeah, you'll see us and hear us weekly next year in 2024, talking all things gaming with new sponsors, new people, old people, and everything in between. So we're going to talk a little bit about the year in gaming, but before that, there's been quite a bit of things we can talk about news-wise, if that's okay with you guys. First of all, how you guys been, and is there anything that you're trying to play to end the year off with?
I don't know if I'll be able to finish the Pokemon DLC before the year is done, given the way I play these games, but I will try. Final Fantasy 16's DLC is out. I am definitely trying to get that done before the year is done. But honestly, that's probably going to be it as far as like games I complete, like those. Like a lot of those, like, you know, I have other games in progress, but it just might take a little long. So that might be early 2024, which is fine because I will, for those who follow me on specifically on Twitter, they know that I do like a thread of all the games that I beat this year. I'll be doing that again in 2024 because it was a fun way for me to keep track of what games I was finishing and whatnot. So I'll be doing that 2024. And it might be a little stacked at the beginning if some of these 2023 games bleed into the next year, which they will. So there you are.
I think you mean X.
I don't.
Nah, we mean Twitter.
Okay. What about Christy and Kim? What are you guys trying? Is there anything you're trying to play before the year, though?
Probably Tales of Arise. I'm at like the final section where it's like the no point of return. So I need to probably level up my characters, get a bit more skills added to each one before giving that a go. And then Kelly got me sucked in to Final Fantasy 14. So trying to finish Heaven's Ward. We will see. There's also the Pokemon DLC, Mario Wonder, and also Super Mario RPG.
You're going to be very busy. Gabe, what about you?
I'm just trying to finish Baldur's Gate 3 again because for some odd reason, my finished file, I can't get the new patch 5 endings. Like, I've tried everything and it's just not letting me do it. So I'm like, I might as well just try and finish again. Which, thank goodness I had another save file that was already in Act 3. So that's my main focus. If I finish anything else, it might be Spider-Man 2, or, you know, that's probably about it, because every other game that I started this year, I was thankfully very good at finishing.
Congratulations. So, with that, let's talk about some good news. Nope, that's why I skipped myself. there is no way I can finish. Unfortunately, I've had to do a lot of starting games and stopping them and picking up other games, unfortunately, due to
that some stuff is at my job. The summary of 2023, honestly.
Yeah. You know, I start one thing and I play it at my leisure, and then they're like, hey, there's a new game that's out. Let's all talk about that. And it's like, oh, I didn't finish the last one. And I've kind of been having to move on. So, no. I'm playing the Pokemon DLC because Toby asked me on my birthday what I've been playing, and I have yet to respond to him because I'm scared. So Toby, if you're listening, I know you asked me December 5th, and it is now December 18th, so I apologize. But
poor Toby.
If you're listening, I am playing the Pokemon DLC. Yeah, so let's talk about some gaming news as I confess that I'm a bad friend. So E3 is officially dead. After more than two decades of hosting an event that has served as a central showcase for the U.S. and global video game industry, the Entertainment Software Association has decided to bring E3 to a close. This is reported on by several websites. And basically, how do you guys feel about E3 now officially being dead? Also, if you have any fond memories of watching E3, talking about E3, or going to E3, now's your time to share them.
Yeah,
so it feels bittersweet.
I don't even know if I'd call it bittersweet. I think it's just bitter.
I thought you were going to say just sweet, and I was like, all right.
It's just sweet.
No. Like, I'm not, like, I can fully acknowledge that E3 was becoming obsolete. I can fully admit that. But I don't think there's anything sweet about it just dying, to be perfectly honest. Like, its time has passed, but I'll still always miss it for what it was, not how it was in its last few years. Like, when I'm thinking about, like, the good old years of E3, which I do have one story I'm going to share, but talking about it as it is, we have often referred to E3 as like Christmas for gamers because it was often a good time for us to see what cool stuff was coming on the horizon from the big three. Whether we cared about all three or not is another story, but like you always got at least one or two things that you were really hyped for that you would see, in the coming future. And that was always cool. And it was always, all the big companies were out there, but once upon a time, not just the big three, but other big publishers. Obviously, that was going away the further in we got. And, you know, E3 has just been dying a very slow death. We kind of saw the writing on the wall a while ago. So this isn't necessarily a shock, but hearing that final confirmation from the ESA themselves, you know, it gives us an eye closure that is like, you know, we're not going to keep hoping that E3 will keep making a comeback now that they've officially axed it. But yeah, it's gone. And I'll miss it for what it was, not how it has been lately. I guess if I had to share one E3 story, because I've been watching it for quite a few long time, since 2009, I would say, is the first one that I watched. I've never been to one. But I remember having some friends over to my house for, I want to say it was the 2018 E3. And I had like a few friends in my house for the infamous Everyone Is Here trailer in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And my best friend, Zach, who was in the room with me, just hyperventilating at that trailer. Like, just the announcement that everyone is here and then just going back to back every single character from Smash Bros. Game. He was just like, not even kidding. Like, we were all just like so, so happy during that E3 moment. That's one I'm always going to remember, honestly. Yeah, I'll miss E3. But guess we'll see what comes next for gaming announcements.
Speaking of that 2018 E3, I was writing a piece for work and it had me going back through all the years of E3, and I know exactly what you're talking about because I was watching that while I was working. And anyone, you can all literally go to the Game Awards website and watch all of the presentations from 2014 and beyond. And that one, I didn't even remember that they actually showed off the game. And they had the orchestra play the theme song of the game. And then the game released that same night. It was like, it's out tonight. That was no, I'm so wrong. That was the Game Awards. What am I talking about? That was not E3. I'm talking about the Game Awards.
But it was cool nonetheless, because that also involved Smash. Like that, yeah, like you said, that was the night. That's not E3, so we're getting off
that
topic.
Was the Game Awards, nevertheless, yes, I'm sorry.
But nevertheless, that was the night before Smash came out. I know because I had friends over my house for the Smash Ultimate launch party. That was the one I talked about last podcast when I was remembering my good friend Rob, that we had him over and we saw the reveal of Joker, and that was nice.
Yeah. I think my favorite my favorite memories of E3 were just covering them with you guys years ago. Like, that was a lot of fun.
That was fun.
It was very stressful, but we did really good work.
This is not a memory.
Twitter. Our live tweets, that was fun. Between me and Marissa, we were like,
oh my god, yes. How can live tweet E3? God bless you guys.
Getting the socials up to date with it was some fun times. Speaking of Marissa, I'll never forget how in the E3 where they announced Banjo was coming to Smash, her headline was literally like, Banjo-Kazooie is coming to Smash and I'm freaking out.
Yes, it was great.
I was just like, I was just so happy for her specifically, because that obviously meant a great deal to her.
Yeah, she went to E3 the year that I did not, actually.
Really?
Yeah, she went the year after I went, and then I went 1 year, and then she went the next year, and I was unable to go that next year. But she had a great time. She has some very good memories. Were you were saying something, Gabe?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say it sucks that I'll never get to go to an E3, because I was never really, like, when it came to conventions and stuff like that, or, you know, big, I was called big get-togethers when it comes to, like, stuff that I like, you know, I didn't really pay attention to E3 until, I think it was maybe 2015, 2016, but the more, you know, the more I tuned in, I was like, damn, I really got to go to this, you know, one day. Maybe when I'm older, you know, and I have my secure job and I have the money to do it, whatnot. And, you know, me being naive, thinking E3 is going to last that long. So kind of sucks. Never going to go to one. But it's always nice to, like, hear everyone's stories of when they did go to E3, because it's just it's everyone has such a happy story. And it's so cool to see. It's like, oh, my gosh, like, E3 was it. Like, that was such an awesome thing to experience. But my favorite trailer, probably on par with Brandon's, was the Smash Ultimate one, because, I mean, it's Smash, and that one that one surprisingly, sorry, I was thinking about it, and I was like, am I missing something? No, that one actually beat out Tears of the Kingdom, because Tears of the Kingdom, the more I thought about the trailer coming out in E3, and the game kept getting delayed, I was like, you know what, you've spoiled my taste, but this is me.
Good times. I'm like looking at my pictures from, I went to E3 in 2015, which feels like so long ago.
I remember, Jarrell, you know what's funny? Like, literally a few days ago, I finally got around to listening to the memory card memoir, shout out to Sterling Silver, of your episode with you and Sterling talking about Octopath Traveler.
Great
and
game.
Yes. And I remember you talking specifically to Sterling about, like, how you went to E3 was with Grayson and saw the Final Fantasy VII Remake trailer, and at the time, not understanding why it was such a big deal.
Yeah, I had
like,
not
how far played, we've come.
I had not played Final Fantasy VII ever, like, in my life, and I just knew one thing about it, and that was it. And I was in the theater watching the presentation with Grayson during PlayStation, and I was just like, why everybody hype? I have no idea what this is like. And everyone's like, oh my god! I'm like, Grayson, what is this game? Like, what is everyone freaking out for? Goodness. And I had no idea. And then I saw, like, Cloud, and I recognized Cloud. I was like, oh, okay, this is like Cloud, this is like Final Fantasy. But I didn't get how big of a deal it was until, like, years later. And then I think the next year I actually played on my way to CEO, actually. So it was actually not even the next year. I think it was like 2018 or 2019. No, 2018 maybe. On my way to CEO, I played Final Fantasy VII for the first time, and I got it, and now it's one of my favorite games of all time. It's a really cool time. I will say that E3 for me has always been something that kind of got me interested in the industry, and I think that happens for a lot of us when you see all of these really fun, exciting things all the time and you could be a part of it. I did some fun stuff. I went to interviews. I went to after parties, got a little drunk. It was a great time, and I'm unfortunately sad that, you know, it's not something that's going to come back, but yeah, I guess... I don't want to say things are better this way, because I don't think that they're better this way, but I think things are easier and more organized now for game announcements, and most companies continue to have these game announcements around that same time, and they have, like, we have, like, a mini less interactive E3, so it's not like we're losing out on game announcements or anything that we did have at E3, but we are losing the game journalism community and that camaraderie and going to see your friends at E3 and having a great time and talking to everybody about all that new stuff, because now things are all just, like, everywhere. They're all over the place. You never know what's getting announced. Like, one company's having their their presentation at like 8 a.m. and the other one's tomorrow at 6 p.m., but nobody ever says anything. And then Summer Games Fest is going on and IGN has their summer thing going on at the same time and nobody knows what's happening. It's much more hectic now. And I feel like it's also less less connected now, but I mean, you know, it makes sense, and I have nothing else to say about E3. It was a great time, and it sucks that it's going to be gone, because it's kind of why I think myself and a lot of our friends have gotten into the industry. It was like our in, right? Like, it was our inspiration and our moment to want to be there and do those things, so it sucks. You know what else sucks?
What else sucks?
Segway. The Dungeons and Dragons owner Hasbro has announced a huge wave of layoffs that affect over 1,000 staff members. And I know we were talking about layoffs earlier, but this one is kind of a big deal, specifically because Wizards of the Coast is, you know, a subsidiary of Hasbro. They bought Hasbro bought them. Has probably been, not even probably, is the most successful portion of Hasbro currently. And because Hasbro's not doing well, they decided to downsize. But instead of downsizing on their other subsidiaries that are not doing well, they decided to do it across the board, which meant that a part of their company that is doing very well got hit with some pretty big layoffs. And I think worst part about this is that a lot of those people who were laid off were senior members who'd been at the company for, you know, more than 10 years, some of them going on 20 years. A big one was the co-creator of 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons. And also the wildest thing is that, and another one was, I don't know if anyone's into Magic the Gathering, but there's Universes Beyond, which is Magic crossover with a bunch of different IPs, including Tomb Raider, Jurassic Park, Lord of the Rings was a big one, Final Fantasy's coming up, Doctor Who. She was in charge of all of that. She also got laid off. She had also been at the company for a very long time. So it didn't see, a lot of people were kind of confused as to how people who basically thought, you know, I've been here for 20 years, I've got a secure job, I'm running this thing really well, were able to just be let go in a sweeping motion. Lots of designers and producers lost their job, including former devs, senior employees. They're all gone now, and Hasbro sucks. The biggest thing about it is just that, and the something that Gabe, I'm sure, will go on to talk about, is that Wizards of the Coast is having a very good year. The Universes Beyond brought Magic the Gathering back into the fold, and it brought a lot of new people to Magic. It brought a lot of old people back to Magic, and it made quite a bit of money, especially with their Lord of the Rings crossover, which I don't think Gabe plays Magic the Gathering, but I do believe he bought some of those cards, and I was going to be buying the Final Fantasy cards, and I don't play Magic the Gathering either. But that, along with the D&D movie that came out, there have been a ton of D&D products that have also come out, and the mixture of Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering being at basically their height after a very long time, and for viewers, Gabe has shown us some of his Lord of the Rings cards from the Magic the Gathering Universes Beyond Lord of the Rings collection, which had amazing artwork. I will not go into the controversy of changing the race and skin color.
It wasn't controversy. It was just a bunch of losers getting their fucking knickers in a twist because they don't know how to have an imagination.
Getting their what?
Sorry. Their knickers in a twist. Knickers. NKNICKER.
I was just talking about black people being played in Lord of the Rings, and you were saying words, and I was like, what?
Gabe is playing Magic. Gabe is playing Magic, and clearly Drell's playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Because he just played a set of trap card.
Oh my God. That was great, Brandon. Thank you. That was great. anyway, so D&D's at its height with a D&D movie, lots of products coming out. They're working on the next iteration of Dungeons and Dragons. Magic the Gathering is still in its prime, you know. The One Ring sold for $2 million. This guy is like to Post Malone, like everything's going wild, and they just got laid off about 1,000 employees. So how are we feeling about that one?
Okay. I always want to sit inside those meetings when they happen, because like I want to know the words they use and the thought process they get to like doing things like this. That's all I gotta say about it.
Honestly, what I'm gonna say is related. It's gonna seem unrelated in a second, but follow me for a second. So you know how anytime that Square Enix does any kind of announcements, the Kingdom Hearts fans will just throw a picture of themselves putting on their clown makeup before the announcements.
Yes.
Well, I think those Kingdom Hearts fans need to go ahead and donate all that clown makeup to the people behind these decisions, because this is absolute clown behavior right here, bro. Just that's all like I gotta say about it.
So I did hear that there was some controversy with some of the people that were let go. I don't know about it. I didn't look into it. But whether there was or not, I'm not gonna judge that at all, because I don't know what happened. What I will say is I think it's really fucked up to, like, if my company is doing well, I feel like y'all should probably downsize the parts of your company that aren't doing well and leave us the fuck alone.
That's, bro, like, that is exactly what I'm saying. We're doing our job. Y'all out here fucking up. So why are you fucking up our bags? What the fuck is this?
Literally. I don't know why they did it. I'm assuming it was just to, you know, fair across the board. We're getting rid of X amount of people at every place, or, you know, Wizards has more people than our puzzle department. So to make things even, you got to get rid of, like,
the salary.
Yeah, that's another big one. That's thank you for bringing that up, actually, because I do believe that that's one of the reasons that they got rid of some of the higher executives there, because the best way to save money is to get rid of the people at the top that are making the most money. So yeah, that definitely could be a part of it.
So short-sighted. Like, they see, they're making that much money, so let's let them go. Why the fuck do you think they're making that much money, though? Like,
well, sometimes people just be making money for no reason.
No, you're right. But all I'm saying is, like, it would take thinking, like, for longer than maybe a minute to, like, come to a correct conclusion on that matter, you know?
But also, you know, they let go some of the execs with departments that are doing well. And you're like, why?
Yeah.
What was the point?
Yeah. Clown shoes.
Gotta save that money. Gotta save that money. Clown shoes and clown makeup. So, notorious ransomware group Rysidia has reportedly hacked Insomnia Games, giving the studio 7 days to pay them $2 million or they'll leak everything. So what do you guys think studios can do to prevent this? And do you think this is a bluff or not? And what are some of the ramifications of if this doesn't happen? And what would you do? Would you pay them?
Wait, ramifications of what doesn't happen? If they don't pay? Or if they...
Yeah.
Oh, if they don't pay. Yeah. You know, I don't confess to being in a position of power within Insomniac, but... you know, generally speaking, I think there's some big problems if your projects that you haven't announced all get leaked and whatnot. Like, who got it was a few, I think it was a few years ago at this point, but who got, like, ransom leaked, like, not too long ago-ish?
Wasn't it CD Projekt Red?
No, it was someone else. Wasn't it Capcom, or was it someone else?
PlayStation get hacked every fucking week. So,
I feel like, and I know, like, I think in the midst of all this, like, I think Insomniac or someone announced that Spider-Man 3 is coming. That's not really a leak. Obviously, they're gonna do Spider-Man 3, like, really. And
that's a leak to me. I didn't finish Spider-Man 2.
So you thought they weren't gonna do another Spider-Man? Is that what you're saying right now?
Games are working on Wolverine now. They're not doing Spider-Man anymore. And you
just exactly. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, okay, Insomniac did their Spider-Man. They announced Wolverine. Now it's time to get the rest of the Avengers together. That's what I thought.
The rest of the Avengers. I wonder how many... Off topic, I wonder how many Marvel characters Insomniac's do. Hey, maybe we'll find out if Insomniac doesn't pay. We'll find out how many other Marvel characters are going to plenty.
Yeah.
I mean... For Insomniac, obviously, if this just gets leaked, it's a huge, huge problem. A lot of the people for Insomniac, but for the industry and fans, like, they'll probably be happy to. Well, I don't know. I don't know how many people would be happy to know, because we constantly talk about, like, man, stop announcing this shit too early. This shit ain't coming out that soon. We would find out about stuff that potentially, yeah, fully square. We potentially would find out about stuff that wouldn't be released until 2026 at earliest. So I don't know. Maybe I don't want to know. In fact, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I mean, I don't like leaks just because I feel like you're destroying people's hard work. Like, that's why I don't like leaks.
Yeah.
Like, I do not get happy when someone, like, when the Grand Theft Auto 6 thing got leaked, like, an hour before they're like, fuck it, they leaked it, you might as well just release. I wasn't like, whoa! I was like, why would you do that? Like, they said it's coming out tomorrow. I didn't have energy to do anything else here, my bad. But, like, that's the thing. Like, when people leak things, it's like, what do you gain from this? Because it is illegal to do that. So you're always facing the ramifications of being hunted down. That's a strong word to use, but I don't know. I think leaguers need to put their talent somewhere else.
A serious question, though. Like, just very serious question to you, Brandon, and all of you, but Brandon specifically, because you kind of mentioned this. What happens if they say no and it's leaked? People are mad. Well,
change the game.
Wait, what?
Change the game.
Change the whole game. Cancel the whole the entire thing. Game. That's it. That throw all the games away. We're starting over.
You guys thought you were getting
Nintendo did.
We're doing Professor X.
Now you're getting Professor X
video game. Is it a puzzle game?
No, actually, it's a card game.
I'd do it. I'd play it.
Wow, yeah, so it doesn't even matter. We're just getting the card game now. It's all fine. And they don't get their $2 million. Look at that.
I don't know. Like,
Something I do think that companies can do, it's going to sound stupid, but like, I don't know. Like, I would reach out to the people that leaked and be like, yo, do you think you want to work for us for actual money and heighten our defenses a little bit? But like, again, yeah, like, at the same time, like, they're obviously bad people, so you wouldn't want them to work, but sometimes, you don't know, maybe they're just bored. It was in a Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode where the police precinct got hacked, and they were like, well, who did this? And when they finally found out it was a kid, no, it wasn't a kid, but he was, like, a teenager, and like, oh, do you want to work for us, like, instead of being a criminal? And guess what? In all the other seasons that came after, the precinct never got hacked again.
Let me ask you a question, Gabe. If somebody stole $100 out of your wallet, would you turn around and be like, damn, that was good. I'm going to hire you to teach me how you did that. And you can keep that $100 as payment. Does that make sense to you?
I mean, if they're going to teach me good enough that I never get caught,
your dumb ass pays them that $100 and they run off with it because you really thought they were going to fucking teach you because they're fucking bad guys, you're the idiot
that I'm Bobo the Clown, man. You deserve
to lose your $100.
Oh, so then he's giving his clown makeup to the high.
He's giving his clown makeup.
I remember, this is tangentially related. I remember there was like a season of Power Rangers where the guy's job outside of being ranger was a security tester. Like, he would literally be hired to break into like high security areas. And if he could do it, that means, oh, I guess you better up your security. Like, he straight up took like this priceless vase, handed it to him, and was like, hey, you guys better step it up or this is going to get stolen.
They still have doing that somewhat. And I do, to be fair to Gabe's point, I do think it's a little different if somebody's hacking you. However, if they're hacking you and holding you for ransom for $2 million, I'm sure they don't want a fucking job with you. Like, I'm pretty sure that is the last thing they fucking want. Also, never hire someone who holds shit from you for ransom. Never. Never, ever. Don't do it. If they want to steal your shit, that's fine. But if they're literally ransoming you, no. Like, do not fucking hire them.
Pay attention to your phishing.
That is also training. True. Yes. I think leaks are bad. To be fair, I think leaks are bad. I just don't.
Yeah.
Like, I would never pay somebody $2 million. Like, leak it, bro. Like, all you finna do is make everybody else mad because they're gonna know that they're not gonna get this shit for years. I'm not gonna. Whatever. So Will Dude. 83, we dude 83 on Twitter said, with E3 being officially dead, I really don't like this timeline where every major gaming event is now run by Jeff Keighley. A bad E3 still felt better than the vast majority of Game Awards and all of Summer Games Fest. Is this a good take, a bad take? Is a bad E3 better than the Game Awards?
Is a bad E3 better than the Game Awards?
And that's, before we answer these questions, let's remember what just happened at the past Game Awards. Keep that in mind.
My answer is no. A bad E3 is not better than the Game Awards.
I strongly agree. Because those
Because
last couple of years of E3,
they were so
yeah, you
useless.
they
Like,
were rough.
we got more at the
They
Game
were rough to
Awards.
watch.
We literally got more
They were
at the Game Awards.
rough.
We just had to sit through some bullshit, but we got more at the Game Awards. Like, remember that either last year or no, 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, the Game Awards was used to announce the next generation Xbox. Like, it is a big deal. So yes, a bad Game Awards is better. I'm sorry, a bad E3 is worse than the Game Awards. Yes, 100%.
You know what? I agree too. And I agree specifically because what I was referencing earlier when we were talking about E3 is these last few years of E3 were pretty bad. Like, I would say, like, the last maybe two or three E3s were probably among the worst. And that was obviously the first sign that E3 was going to die in the first place. Before that, we had some middling E3s. I wouldn't say any of the middling ones are, worse than the Game Awards. But if we're talking about E3's last dying years, then yeah, absolutely, the Game Awards now especially have definitely surpassed the game news. Which that, of course, raises another debate about, like, should a game award show be better than a show that was about announcing games? But that's not something I'm going to really get into. But no, I agree. I agree.
I do agree with, however, that I don't like the timeline of that major game things are going to be going through Jeff
Oh
because,
yeah, we didn't talk about that too.
yeah, that.
Technically they're not. I mean,
Okay, he should have reworded the tweet to say it opens up the door for Jeff to be able to do that.
Okay, sure. I'm not disagreeing with that, but mostly, like, if things go as they have been, remember that Jeff doesn't really interfere with E3. He does have his Summer Games Fest or whatever, but at the same time, Capcom and Square Enix and PlayStation and Xbox and Nintendo all have their own presentations. They're not going through him. They just happen to be around the same time. A lot of what we see at Summer Game Fest is like third-party developers or indie type stuff, and like we like stuff that you'll kind of see at like this last Game Awards where it's like smaller things, but even at the Game Awards they don't like or at least they haven't shown off big th like Nintendo is not going to show off the third Breath of the Wild at the Game Awards. They're going to fucking do their
They're
own
never going to show
presentation.
it off.
And but you get what I mean. They're going to do their own presentation. They're going to give you a treehouse when it's closer to it. It's going to be their own thing. It might be a trailer while the Game Awards are playing, but I think that all of these companies have kind of, like I mentioned, Capcom, Square Enix, the big three, they all do their own shit now. So I don't think that they're all just going to be like, "Oh damn, no E3. Guess we better call Jeff." No. Why the fuck would they do that? They got their own shit. So I don't think it's as bad as people think.
Like Jeff is not going to be the end all be all of game announcements for perpetuity. Like, that's already never been the case, even when E3 was dying. Like, they've, like you just said, Jerrell, they've been doing it themselves. If there's a benefit to them partnering with Jeff in the Summer Games Fest, for example, and announcing it, sure, why not? But if they don't want to, they don't have to. And like, the whole point of E3 just not existing was because that the companies are going to announce shit when they want to. It just usually happens, like you said, to fall during the June, maybe, I don't know, if they want to be different, they could do it in July or August or some shit, whatever. The point is they're not tied to June anymore.
Yes.
So Jeff doesn't need to, yeah, no,
And they
Jeff,
still show their stuff in June.
they
it,
do,
yeah,
because
it's like
that just tends to be the right time for a lot of companies to do so, but they don't have to.
it's like Foam Stars, right? Foam Stars, Square Enix will be like, "Hey Jeff, we got this free game, Foam Stars. Go put it on your Summer Games Fest shit." And then they'll have their own Square Enix thing where it's like, "Here's 10, 15 minutes of Final Fantasy Rebirth." Like that is how it would work. That's the best analogy I have. It's probably not a good one because they'll probably still show Final Fantasy on like the Game Awards. But you get what I'm saying. Like, Foam Stars is not Final Fantasy. Like that's how if any of these companies were going to do something like that, that's how they would do it. Especially not Nintendo. Nintendo been doing their own shit in directs for forever. They don't give a fuck about Jeff.
Absolutely. And
And they
so even
didn't win
before
Game of the
that.
Year. Fuck you, bro. Like, can you imagine if they're like, "We didn't win, so we're never coming back." Breath of the Wild didn't win. We're not. I mean, Tears of the Kingdom didn't win, so we're just not ever coming back. Jeff, fuck you.
Nintendo didn't add, like, now that I think about it, Nintendo didn't announce anything this Game Wars, did they?
They did not. Nope, not a single thing.
Damn.
But that's because, we kind of have been talking about how they're at
I
the
mean, they
end of
still have
this
more of
life
a
cycle.
presence in
And
Xbox.
Yeah, it's true. It's
do
true.
you know who will be at the
That's
Game
true.
Awards? Who will be at the
Game Awards?
Xbox will put all their stuff with Jeff. So there you go.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, they kept it with E3 until the very end. I wouldn't put it past them.
Really hard.
You know what? I will give Xbox that. Xbox did keep running with E3 until the very end. I'll give them that.
The very end. And even when everybody else was on their way out.
And what did it get them?
Nothing.
I mean, as many excuses like, as they have now.
Absolutely nothing. I like my Xbox. You guys are making me sound like I don't like my Xbox. I like my Xbox. Check out my Xbox. Yes. What?
Huh?
What'd you say?
What'd I say?
I don't know, but check out my Xbox played in a year, and you'll see that I actually do use it. Anyway,
you only had 44 hours.
I do. That's 44 more hours on Xbox than I do on not using it. How many Xbox hours do you have, Christy?
I don't have one.
Exactly. So leave me alone. Dang.
I would have been a better target for that because I have an Xbox.
Does anybody else want to talk about this tweet? So I can move on because I feel like I'm getting roasted. I do like my Xbox. I use it for Game Pass. That's how I'm playing Persona 5 Tactica for free. Jeez.
For free.
For $15 a month.
For $15 a month.
So Game Pass is now back in Jarrell's good graces.
Okay. So, yes, actually. Yes, they've added more games. I don't hate it as much anymore. They've added more games. So I'm like, okay.
I don't.
A lot of the new releases from this year, I've been able to at least try because they've been on Game Pass. So I've been like, oh, great. I don't have to pay for this shit. That's like, I don't want to drop $70 for Tactica because it should be like $40, but I'm not going into that conversation. That shit is a $60 full-ass game.
Oh.
And it should not be. It should be like $30 to $40. But you know what?
You got it on sale for $20.
That's a conversation. You got Tactica?
Yeah.
For $20.
I got it on Steam. Yeah, it was on sale.
Okay. So, moving on. Twitch.
Speaking of... Oh, you're going to Twitch. Okay. I was going to give you a segue.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Hey, speaking of Game Pass and games that are not coming to Game Pass, didn't Larian Studios say something about not putting Baldur's Gate on Game Pass?
They did. I didn't know where you were going. They did. They definitely did. So Baldur's Gate 3 is not going to be on Game Pass, insist Larian bosses. We made a big game, so I think there's a fair price to be paid for that, and I think that that is okay. We don't charge you any microtransactions on top of it, so you get what you pay for. This is from Larian Studios, by the way, and I'm going to actually click on it so I can go to give you a better quote. I didn't have it ready because I was not going to this one next, but I had that good segue. I have no choice. Okay, quote. We always said from the get-go it wasn't going to be on Game Pass. It's not going to be on Game Pass. Describing it as a sensitive question... Vinky pointed out that Larian Studios is in the business of making a game that has a beginning, middle, and end. He also touted Baldur's Gate 3's lack of microtransactions. Oh my god, I can read. Quote, we made a big game, so I think there's a fair price to be paid for that, and I think that that is okay. We don't charge you any microtransactions on top of it, so you get what you pay for. Up front, it's a big, meaty game, so I think that should be able to exist as it is. This is what allows us to continue making other games. According to IGN's sister site How Long to Beat, a completionist run in Baldur's Gate 3 can take upwards of 144 hours. Many fans are even playing through Baldur's Gate 3 multiple times, like Gabe, as they try unique routes like the Dark Urge. His hard stance against putting Baldur's Gate 3 on Game Pass stands in contrast to Starfield, which was available on the subscription service from launch. The closely watched launch yielded solid returns, with Starfield being the best-selling game of September 2023 in the U.S. Elsewhere, the service's relative costs and benefits have been hotly debated, with some independent developers coming out strongly in favor of it, while publishers like Take-Two call it value destructive. And this is, like, it was a little bit of a tangent. That was from IGN.com, and it was written by Kat Bailey. But my question to you guys about this story is it surprising to hear a developer want to have their game be purchased instead of on Game Pass based on the content that it provides?
Well, before I answer, I have a question that I don't know if you know the answer to, but I'll ask anyway. How big is Larian Studio?
They are technically considered an independent studio, and a lot of them
Okay.
passed during COVID while they were making Baldur's Gate 3, which is really sad.
Okay. It's wow, it's pretty astounding then that if it's a technically indie team that it was able to produce something like that. That's pretty cool. So that puts things into a kind of a different light, especially you made the Starfield comparison because
I wouldn't say,
this is a
sorry, to, I wouldn't say
go
that they're
ahead.
like a small studio, right? They're not a small studio, but they're also not like a big studio either.
Sure.
They're not,
They're not Square Enix.
yes, and they're not
Yeah. They're
supported
not
by
like
anyone.
Capcom.
So this is why, well, this is kind of what he's saying. Like, they're not supported by any of these bigger companies. So their way of making money is by selling this game. And if you want them to be able to make more games in the future, putting this on Game Pass is literally detrimental to them because they're going to take a lump sum and not be able to make any more money off of this. And like they mentioned, there's zero microtransactions. You get a beginning, middle, and end to Baldur's Gate that you can play almost 200 hours of and play multiple times, multiple ways, and find something different every time. So this isn't something that they can milk for continuous money. Like, this is a one and done. So for an independent studio that's smaller than some bigger studios, it makes sense. But go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, honestly, well, it's yeah, so like you said, it's not a small studio, but it's not as big as like the big ones. But
Yeah, the
it
big
does it,
ones.
the big ones, yes. But it does make sense then because, you know, Larian do gotta make their money if they're just not as big as, you know. But Bethesda, it seems a lot easier prospect for them to put Starfield on Game Pass since they are a bigger studio.
But also, aren't they now owned by Microsoft?
Yeah, like that's the big thing. That's probably why Starfield went on Game Pass in the first place.
You're right. That's probably a better reason than Bethesda being Bethesda. That's true. But yeah, Larian Studios, because they have that wiggle room, they have the option to choose, and they're choosing not to. And
One
honestly,
thing, real quick,
I th
Brandon.
what's up?
Sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but to answer your question, there are 450 employees in Larian Studios as of 2023. Shows you how small they are. Go
400. So
ahead.
they're about mid-size.
That is,
Mid-size, yeah.
y'all consider that mid-size? 450
I
employees is
consider.
mid-size?
I don't
That's
know how
pretty.
large a gaming company usually is, so I thought that was a big number. My bad.
I mean,
My bad.
That's about
I get.
mid-size, I feel like.
I guess it depends on the studio because if we're talking about
Yeah.
Capcom, there's like thousands. But if you like go studio by, but that's the difference because Capcom can have multiple studios making different games, and then you know maybe a Ghost Trick will have like 450 people, for example. But that's just one subsidiary of Capcom, for example. Just to name an example. Yeah, maybe.
Exactly. So, like, one subsidiary of a big company is Larian Studios, basically. Like, their whole
Is the
company
entirety of
is
Larian,
like,
yeah.
yes. Like,
Yeah, that's
sorry, go
fair.
ahead.
But yeah. Anyway. You're trying to get me. Okay. So yeah, so it makes sense then that Larian wanted to be paid. Honestly, I think their reasoning is absolutely fair. And this statement comes right after them winning Game of the Year. So they know their value. But I think they could have asserted that even before it won. Like just being nominated for that award, I think offers you a little bit of prestige for your game, I would say. So for them to say is like, yeah, no, we made a complete game that gives you a lot of content. I think, and we're not dickle and diming you for anything, or we're are charging a fair price. It's fair reasoning, and I don't disagree with it. I think the only reason why this is causing any controversy whatsoever is because people on the Xbox ecosystem are just, you know, they're inclined to think that any new game that's coming to them is coming to Game Pass. And that was something that Microsoft themselves asserted a long time ago when they introduced Game Pass, that, you know, here's all these games that we've made in the past and new games are going to be coming out day and date on Game Pass. They're just used to that now. Anything that's coming to Xbox, whether Xbox or Microsoft is publishing or not, just comes to Game Pass just because that's just how it is. Am I wrong? Like,
That does
what
not
games don't come to Game
happen.
Pass?
Like
What games
Alan
are missing?
Wake, Octopath, like a bunch of like Octopath 2, a bunch of games that are also available on Xbox do not automatically come. The only ones that do are from Microsoft Studios. Some of them, like, there are exceptions to the rule, but essentially the rule is just Microsoft Studios games.
Okay, well, okay, let me ask this then. Do a lot of those games that don't come day one to Game Pass eventually come like a few months down the line?
Yes. Well, actually, I can't answer that because I don't know how much a lot is, to be fair. Like I like, for example, Xbox has a partnership with Atlus right now, right? So that's why Persona 5 Tactica is on Game Pass. But before this, it wouldn't have been. But Alan Wake 2 is a you know, Game of the Year contender game. It is not day in, day on Game Pass. Baldur's Gate 3, Octopath 2, right? It's going to come to Xbox. It's probably going to be day and date Game Pass, but it's also a conversation they have with Square Enix. So I think it just depends, like, by game, because they did that for Octopath, the original Octopath, right? Like, it came to Game
When
Pass
it finally
when it came
came to
to
Xbox,
Xbox. Yes.
it was on Game Pass. Yes. So actually, question then. So Octopath Traveler 2 is not on Xbox yet,
It
right?
is not on Xbox yet.
Okay. So my assumption, I mean, I could be completely wrong. We don't know. But my assumption is when it eventually does come to Xbox, I think it
It'll
will
be,
be
yeah.
on Game Pass day. That's just an educated guess. But yeah. But even so, like, so obviously, fair. You've named some examples where they don't necessarily come day one to Game Pass. I think the reason why this is probably just getting much traction again is because it is the Game of the Year winner, and I guess a lot of Xbox owners would, obviously be happy to know that this, this subscription service they're already paying for will now get them a Game of the Year game. But that's obviously not going to be the case now, and they're actually going to have to spend money, which, I mean. If I have the subscription and now I'm being told I have to spend money for a game, I get it. But at the same time, Larian is 100% right in saying, hey, no, we're charging a fair price for the game content we're offering. Pay up if you want to play our game. So I get why Xbox fans will probably be mad about this, but at the same time, Larian's not wrong. Larian is just not wrong.
To be fair, I don't think anyone. I don't think I said that Xbox fans are upset. I was just asking how you guys felt
You
about it.
didn't, but I, but tangentially, I, but tangentially, and from what I've seen, I think there's like, this is Game Pass owners have expectations.
I think
That's
for
all.
this one, it's kind of like Octopath, in a sense that with Octopath, when it finally came to Xbox, it was on Game Pass. So
Yes.
Baldur's Gate 3 has been on PC and PlayStation. So I think it's one of those when it finally comes to Xbox, people are going to assume that it's day and date Game Pass. But that would be a dumb assumption. People don't do that because it's not an Xbox game. Even even some Xbox games are not on Game Pass like day one. Like it is finicky. Also, there are about
It's weird.
4,700.
It's weird to imagine actual Xbox games not coming to Game Pass day one, because that's kind of seems to be their whole deal. But
There's about 4,700 plus employees at 4,700 plus employees at Square Enix,
okay.
compared to the 450 of all of Larian Studios. And that's from their latest shareholders documentation. Twitch is trash. Oh, wait, are we on Twitch? No, we're not. Twitch is trash.
Yeah, we are.
No, we're not streaming on Twitch, so I can say this. It's going
Oh.
to YouTube. Twitch is trash. It's also going to your listening, wherever you listen to podcasts. Twitch is trash. They decided that they were
For
going
a third
to
time.
allow, yes, because they are, allow artistic nudity following a viral topless meta. So what was happening was that there were some streamers who would stream topless, but you could see, you could only see so much that you couldn't see their full breast or nipple, but you could totally see that they were naked, and they would do motions and movements that would make their bodies jiggle, and it would be a whole thing. And essentially, what happened was people felt like it wasn't fair because some people were like, well, how can they basically be nude, but I can't be like nude, or I'm getting banned, but like this woman's clearly not wearing any clothes. So they decided to update their sexual content policy. The changes include that certain content now allowed with labels would be there, and artistic nudity would be permitted under se the sexual themes label. So as long as you labeled your Twitch as sexual themes, artistic nudity would be allowed. Game nudity is allowed contextually. Body painting would be acceptable with appropriate labeling. Mature games labels generally cover content that would be nudely artistic, and stream visibility would be impacted by the content labels. Twerking, grinding, and pole dancing would also now be allowed without a label. You could do all those things with no label. And previously, some dances were prohibited and others were allowed with a label. And first, enforcing on dances, regardless of context, meant our policy prohibited twerking at a wedding or taking a pole dancing exercise class, for example. Policy now takes context into consideration and only prohibits streaming inside of an adult entertainment establishment. So you could do all your shit that you wanted to, just you can't do it in like a sex shop or something. And this got a lot of back and forth for several people. And I'll give you a little bit of one of the Twitch streamers who this was in response to claims for. She did an interview with Dextero, and she said, "I think there are constantly people on the platform that abuse the very vague terms of social service, terms of service Twitch has. It's why Amaranth is as wealthy as she is." And she goes on to just talk about like what this means for her and the way that she streams. But Amaranth went on to slam topless streamers and claim that Twitch's hot tube meta made her wealthy. And there's a back and forth about all these people who are just like, this isn't right and this is right. But before we move on with the story, how do you guys feel about this po which, spoiler alert, the policy has been canceled now. But hearing about it, how do you guys feel about Twitch allowing artistic nudity and it being very vague?
Does anyone want to take this one? I have to gut guess, but not this one.
Okay, well.
I might have more to say once you say the full story,
I
honestly.
forgot my mic was off. But I was saying, like, I don't know. Like, to me, Twitch has always been like a gaming platform, streaming platform, but obviously it has grown into more than that. So I don't, because like, I know some people's argument was like, oh, like kids. Sorry, I was going up and down the stairs. I'm a little out of breath right now. But like, kids get on, to watch people game, and I don't know what they're gonna and stumble upon coming onto the front page of it, whatnot. So yeah, I don't know. To me, there's a place and time for everything. And to me personally, Twitch is not a time and place for that, but I'm not knocking anybody that does it. Like, if you don't know what your child is watching, that's more on you than it is on the streamer. Like I've said it before, you should always be conscious. You should always be aware of what your kid is consuming on these electronic devices that you let them use.
I think Twitch is trash, and I thought that that policy was trash. I agree that like if you want to do this, go ahead. But label, okay. We can talk about the issue with labels on Twitch and how they don't do shit for anybody because if you like. If I want to find a label of something, like for example, if it were Black History Month and I was trying to find all the like black streamers through a label of POC or some shit, do you know how many people who are not POC will use a POC tag to show up on that page and be in my shit? Like just to get up there? Like labels don't do shit for anybody. Those labels that were supposed to help people find community and protect them, all they did was allow people to find them and harass them even more. Like so it, there is and then this reminds me of Roblox, which Roblox is a game for kids, but there's literally sex parties on Roblox, right? Like there's so it's very hard to get away from stuff like that. And I think that, Twitch is a huge platform. I don't think it needs to necessarily be only about gaming. However, there are a lot of people on Twitch that play video games. Like that's where your kids are probably gonna go, either Twitch or YouTube, to watch people play games. Brandon has his streams up. Like they're definitely kid fucking friendly. He not fucking topless on his fucking streams. But let's say that Brandon's playing Pokemon and someone decides to play Pokemon topless and they have that topless label, but they also have that Pokemon label. And somebody clicks on that Pokemon label thinking it's about to be Pokemon battles and it's another type of battle going on. What then? Like what like and there's nothing that Twitch and the other problem I have with Twitch is that everything is so uneven there. Like this was a nudity has never been allowed ever, and then this white lady got mad with a bunch of other white ladies who got mad, and they were like, well, my titty thing is making me subscribers. I don't feel like this is okay. And then we changed the fucking policy for them. But so many other people have been asking for policy changes for Twitch on things that are actually fucking important. And then there are other people that are getting banned for way less than nudity. But you guys are allowing fucking, like, after this time, you're allowing fucking nudity? Are you serious? Like, fix your fucking house. Clean your house. Fix your house before you start giving passes to other people. Fuck Twitch. Sorry, I'm done. It just pissed me off. Again, because, like, what? Why would you do that? This is not fucking OnlyFans. It's fucking Twitch. And I'd like...
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, there's definitely platforms for you to do that. And, like, they know it, too. So it's not that this is their only way of doing it. No, like, you know for a fact there's other platforms of doing this. Because you're doing this for money. You're not doing it for...
And I agree with Gabe as well. I agree with Gabe as well. Like, I'm not trying to knock nobody. If you want to do that, go ahead. Like, I really am not out to knock anybody. I just don't like Twitch's policies, and I feel like they're just very unfair. And also, like, what is artistic nudity? Like, what constitutes artistic nudity? If I sit here and I'm, like, fucking butt-ass naked playing a video game, I'm like, oh, it's artistic because I'm playing a game. Look at my penis while I play. Send me money. Like, I could do that, and then I would literally be able to be like, oh, no, yeah, this is totally artistic. Like, you can't tell me it's not, because what a fucking vague-ass term. Like, what? Who is... Who? Who? And...
They're just waiting for lawsuits.
Literally, I don't know how, but like, I'm sure something would come up. Like, I would sue the fuck out of them. Yeah, no, it's artistic. You can't tell me what to do. You can't fucking ban me. I probably can't make any money from
suing. What happened was that their legal team came down and was like, what is this?
It's so fucking dumb. Anyway, the follow up to this is that upon reflection, we've decided that we went too far with this change. Fucking duh.
AKA, our legal team came down and was like, what the heck is this?
So, effective today, we are rolling back the artistic nudity changes. Moving forward, depictions of real or fictional nudity won't be allowed on Twitch, regardless of the medium. This restriction does not apply to mature-rated games. You can find emote-specific standards for nudity and sexual content in the emote guidelines. We aren't making other changes to the updated sexual content policy. We're in the process of pushing out updates to our community guidelines that reflect this change. It'll take a few days for both this blog and for the new community guidelines to be translated. While I wish we would have predicted this outcome, how could you fucking not... I'm sorry, that was very loud. I apologize. Part of our job is to make adjustments that serve the community. I apologize for the confusion that this update has caused. That's from Twitch.
I just find that second to last statement just hilarious. Why we couldn't.
Like, just look at what's already on Twitch while nudity is banned. Like, just look at it. Look what's there now with banned nudity. How could you not think
that this would get worse? The statement is very much written by their legal team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their legal team came down and was like, what the heck is this? And what the heck is this? You can't do this.
Exactly. And I wonder if it's not even just legal teams, right? Like, it could also just be advertisers, because how many advertisers have pulled out of advertising on Twitter for Twitter because of some shit that Elon Musk has said? I know Disney and Netflix stopped. I think Netflix just came back. Many. But, like, if I'm not going to fucking advertise on this shit. Like, y'all got this titty bitch, like, and I'm talking it's about fucking bitch. Twix for kids, and you like, no, I like, I'm sure it's like what Christy said, and I'm sure it's I'm sorry, Brandon, did you gather thoughts? Or
yeah, I guess so. Like, basically, just like, this entire thing was an absolute mess. Like, they it's all about money, I really feel, because I feel like they relented on the demands of the topless meta streamers, because they were getting them a lot of revenue for Twitch, because a lot of people were going to that, and they were like, that's money talks. Let's just be real here. The reason why they're not fixing all those issues that need to be fixed sooner is because there's not as much money in it. Yeah. These people were getting them some big money revenue. So if they said, hey, can you help us, Twitch? They says, all right, fine, because we'll get that money. And then this happened. And then, like Christy said, legal issues got involved. Backlash from the public got involved. And now the consequences of their actions far outweighed the money they could gain from relenting to the topless meta streamers. And they had to roll it back. more so than they predicted. If they had actually had thought about it for longer than maybe 30 seconds, you know, they thought with that, and they saw money signs, and they just said, let's make it happen. Like, that's really all it comes down to. Like, this whole hilarious but terrible situation is 100% because of money and horny people. Let's just throw that out there.
Did you guys see there is a clip of a Call of Duty esports tournament, and they have like TVs on the background and the casters are talking? Did you guys see that clip? Okay, so no, the casters are talking about the scene of Call of Duty and what's happening. And there are four screens, and on like half of one of the screen is like Call of Duty, and the other half, the host was literally watching a Twitch stream of a girl who was in a very tight and very small Santa Claus outfit, and she was basically grinding on a pole. And it was on the screen, and the casters are like, "What is that? Like, we're in the middle of an esports tournament. What are you doing?" And it was on Twitch, so he could like side by side it. It was great because it was funny, not great because like,
oh, you know what, now that you say that, yeah I saw like a small clip of that. I didn't realize that that's what it was, but yeah
like that. And that just is why I'm just like, Twitch is a problem. Like, what, the Twitch has a problem. Maybe they should make Twitch X, and then all of your adult content can go over there.
Maybe that's the idea. And this is obviously a lot smaller sample size, but I do know that I did see like a handful of people on socials, like actual artists that do, you know, 18 plus art, that I think that for them, the artistic nudity would have been a good thing, but obviously it got abused. And so that's a platform that they lost for their art streams. But a lot of people point out there's also a stream called site called Picardo, which is for art. So you can just do that there. You don't need to do that on Twitch. You don't need Twitch for that. Like, that's where your audience, that's where I think our audience is probably more prevalent anyway. So it's not an issue, I feel.
I just, last thing I'll say about this is I don't think everything is for everyone. And I've said this before. Like, I don't think that, like, if you build hard games, I don't think you should be forced to make them easier for the general public. If you are drawing and you know that you have nudity in your drawing, I don't think Twitch should have to change their policies to allow you to be there, right? Because that's not what Twitch is for. When you have dedicated websites to do things like that. You have dedicated games for people who want to play cozy shit. Like, you find your lane, go in it, and enjoy it, is my point. And I don't think changing policies, you know, site-wide are always a good thing, because they're not. Like, no, take it elsewhere. And but also, do what you want. I'm not telling anybody they can't do anything. Do what you want. If titty bitch want to keep streaming wet titties and it's making her money, girl, make your money. I don't care. Make your money. Just don't force huge policy changes for you when they're, like, not worth anything. I don't want to say not worth anything, but you're not making the platform better with these changes, if that makes sense. Like, if you were making changes that were protecting people, like during Stop Asian Hate or something like that, or Black Lives Matter or something like that, if you're making changes that are actually helping people, or shit, changes to the way that you let people monetize their own content, like let people make their own money, like those changes, yes, but like nonsense changes, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm about to, because we've been here for a while. So let me hurry up and get through these last stories. True. Today, I'm here to discuss some of the exciting content coming to Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, the upcoming online multiplayer action shooter from Rocksteady Studios. I forgot that it was online, not gonna lie. One area where others attempt at licensed looters have struggled is in the diversity of the gameplay loop you're expected to engage with after the credits roll on the main story campaign. Fortunately, in addition to an exciting ongoing narrative featuring iconic DC characters and even some new and original creations from the talented team behind Arkham Knight, not to mention as many missions and objectives are there, are towering skyscrapers in the game's open world metropolis. That sentence doesn't make any sense. Did they not proofread this? Whatever. Fans will always be treated to a variety of exciting modes of play that will keep us coming back again and again. Here are my favorites. Raising Hell is a horde mode where players test their endurance against increasingly difficult waves of enemies for unique rewards and leaderboard bragging rights. QVK is a 4v4v4v4 PvPvE mode, a distinct cousin of Destiny 2's Gambit with some twists. Teams are pulled into multiversal rifts and must fight and compete, complete objectives to earn favor with a sadistic villain. Entertain him enough and you may receive advantages to help you take out your opponents. Join an in-game clan of active players. You'll always have a squad online to take up these challenges with you. And if you've got a couple friends who prefer the same character, don't worry. Teams can feature as many as 4 of any single Suicide Squad member, so you can play how you want. That sucks. I'm so excited to sink my teeth into the next chapter. Blah, blah, blah. Don't forget, blah, blah, blah. 72-hour access. Nobody gives a fuck. Look, it's not me, because the first comment here on the Twitter is are they or are. So it's not me. Somebody else calls it out too. I can actually read. I didn't give you guys context for this. The context for this whole thing was that this is from Miller Ross. Miller Ross reported this as an unofficial statement. Miller Ross is a known leaker who has been cited by Yahoo Finance, Forbes, Metro, IGN, PC Gamer, CBR, comicbook.com, Eurogamer, NME, and other sites. Now, this has never been made as an official statement. It reads like an official statement, doesn't it?
Except for those unproofed red parts of it, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Same again.
Except for those unproved red parts of it, yeah.
Yes. So,
which is probably why it's unofficial.
It is. So, my question to you guys is, should the industry give in to leakers when they post messages like this? And why do you think leakers have turned to doing something like this, making things that almost read as official statements? Do you think this is going to help their credibility? Because as I mentioned, he's been mentioned in quite a few places, and it reads like an official statement. How do you feel about, like, I didn't give you context, but now knowing context, knowing that this is a leaker posting this information out, how do you feel about this in general?
Why can't leakers do this shit to, like, the IRS?
Okay.
Like, focus your energy on something else. Stop attacking these game studios, man.
Student loans.
Yes!
Student loans. Like, get rid of student loans. Like, why can't they do something like that? That will benefit everybody.
Extra stimmy.
Yeah, give us an extra stimulus or some shit, man. Stop attack. Like, I just feel like there's no real benefit of getting into all these, you know, developers and companies and into leak, getting their stuff leaked. Like
they just want their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, but like, there's other ways of doing that.
Well, my question though to you guys is, how do you feel about the way that he's gone about doing this?
I mean, leaker tech is just getting better and better. Clearly, now we have to sound like we're actually part of the crew, just so we can just like really fool the people. You know, it just the leak game has evolved. Clearly,
to be honest, That's why I asked how you guys felt about it. It pissed me off.
Oh no, it's bad. It's pretty freaking bad. Because like making it sound like you are official and putting the statements out, like, now people are really gonna think this is something. And just Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League is already in kind of dire straits among the fan base, so putting out like a false statement,
well, that's the thing, it's supposedly not false. It is let me
rephrase. Putting out a statement that comes from false sources is the way I should have phrased it, is just going to be like, okay. And then when it actually comes out, Rocksteady is going to have a hell of a time. Like, you know, it makes the marketing side harder. Mm-hmm. when it's this close to release is, I guess, the point I'm trying to make. And it's just shitty. Like, leakers just come up with new ways to be kind of vitriolic, I suppose.
He really tried to make this game sound good, but he ain't even proofread his own post. Bruh.
Straight up.
How you gonna be cited and you wrote are there are?
Are there
embarrassing. Okay.
Man.
So, Twitch streamers' viewers increased after using a picture of a white man rather than his own camera. This is from Dextero. Twitch streamer Just Relax Kid went viral after pointing out what seemed to be a huge viewership increase after switching from his camera to a drawing of a white man. Many other black creators have tested this theory, reporting a huge increase in viewership on the platform. That's not funny. I'm sorry. I'm not laughing. I'm laughing because it's ridiculous share my thoughts. So they got the chance to speak to the streamer who said he feels hurt by other creators using this strategy. Quote, I feel bad. I don't want people feeling shame just for being who they are. Zach then went on to discuss Twitch's treatment of black streamers and what he thinks the platform could do to address it. Now, a lot of... Okay, so there are people that are just like, some people are like, this isn't true, you're just doing this for clout, like, this didn't happen the way that you're saying it did, but I mean, supposedly tested and true. How do you guys feel about this, and is there anything that Twitch should do about it?
I don't trust Twitch to do anything good about this, to be quite frank. I just think this whole situation is kind of sad.
It's a depressing situation.
So my actual question to you guys was, do you think that he did this the right way by putting up this white face and continuing what he was doing? Are there other factors at play, or is it simply just like, that's it? Do you think that this is what happened? Like, do you actually think that the Twitch algorithm got him more views because he put up a white face, and that, you know, his experience is what happened? Or do you think that there's more behind the scenes stuff
going on? Well, he posted screenshots of his streams.
He did.
Yeah.
While he did this. So it's, I mean, unless, cause like my other thing is like, to people saying it's like, you know, it's fake and he had it set up a certain way, like, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to get like 300 people to come into my stream to call Twitch out on something. Like,
so
to me, it's a very real thing that happened.
He got just for context, he got 309 views on his regular stream. And then with the white face, he got 22,000.
Yeah, like no one knows that many people. I'm sorry, but if you think you're famous or you think you're a very friendly person, I guarantee you do not know around 2,000 people that could all at once, like, be ready on call to do you a favor. It's not even like he wasn't actively searching to see, like, oh, is Twitch racist? It was literally something that he stumbled upon.
I didn't say like, so, 309 to 2K. I said 309 to 22K. You said 2K. Sorry, continue.
He jumped up to 22,000.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Yes, bro, he did. No one in this world knows 22,000 people to be on call for something like this. You cannot argue that he paid people to do this. Like you, and it's not like it can't even be done by a handful of people. Like, can you imagine just a group of five people making? Ah, shit. Here we go. I can't do math. Making 4,000 separate Twitch accounts to all at once log into someone's stream. Like, bro, you cannot set this up. Like, this isn't Ninja emailing all his followers like, yo, I need you to do me a favor on this day at this time, this exact time on Twitch. No, like, this guy, again, 300 of viewers. Well, like,
one of the reasons people think it's suspicious is because he went from 300 to 22K. And they think that, like, one of the tweets,
you don't,
for example,
know 22K people who can be on call, like what Gabe said.
Well, one of the tweets, for example, says, racism sure does exist, but there's got to be more to it than this. You don't increase viewers from 300 to 22K because of an animated white man face.
Yeah, that's also true. Twitch is hard to grow in that regard.
That's why people are like, you know, they're not saying that he's wrong, but they're saying that there has to be something more to it. Like, maybe the Twitch algorithm will, if you have an animated white face, they probably will give you like viewership in places, like, or boost your viewership or something. People are saying that it's not just that, but they think it's more. I mean, it could also just be that. I mean, he could be very, very fun and like be rated and I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, are you saying he's more fun as a white man?
No, no. Oh my God. No, I'm saying he's fun as himself, but because he's a white man now, he's getting seen more on Twitch because maybe Twitch has AI that generates the way fucking AI does now, which is shitty for black people, and therefore puts him in categories he may not have been in before. And so because he's a fun guy, he's gonna get more views. And just Twitch viewership is gonna, like, maybe the AI algorithm is putting him up front, like on the front page, because he's a white guy face, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. But I do agree that it sucks that, like, other streamers have decided to do this to test it out, and it fucking works. Like, you guys suck. Life sucks. Everybody sucks. Not you guys. Not listeners either. They're racist people. All right, A24, the studio behind Academy Award-winning films such as Everything Everywhere All at Once, has announced a collaboration with Kojima Productions to adapt Hideo Kojima's acclaimed video game Death Stranding into a live-action feature film. Death Stranding feature film, how you feeling? Yes, no,
It's
maybe?
okay. I mean, here's the thing. It's the cast of that game is just like literally like Hollywood actors for the most part. So if they the I think the logical thing would just cast them and just do it that way. I almost feel like the based on what I've heard about Death Stranding, I haven't played it myself. It almost feels like it'd probably work better as a film. And I think given how weird that plot also is, I think A24 might be a good fit given that they did Everything Everywhere All at Once. I don't know if any of y'all seen that movie. That movie's great.
Oh.
But it's a great movie, but it's also in that same quirky nature that I think Death Stranding holds. So I think that's a perfect studio for it. I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be a good movie. It may be a more accessible way for people to enjoy that story than actually playing the game, because I heard a lot of people just don't like Death Stranding. Like it's a very polarizing game. There are people that swear by it, love it, and there are people that just did not jive with the gameplay. So maybe this could be the way to experience story. I just think it's interesting that Death Stranding is a relatively new IP, and it got a movie before Metal Gear did. It's interesting that fate seems to be leaning that direction. I have heard that Metal Gear movie was in like development hell for over a decade now. So may and now that Kojima is not Konami, that just may never happen. I don't know, but it does seem like this is happening. So, I think more signs are pointing to this movie being good.
Kojima just wants to be a movie director, and he can't. So
He
he's
does.
doing
He
films.
has
I
for a
mean,
long
video
time.
games.
He
I know,
has.
that's what I'm
He's
saying.
had for a
He
long
has
time.
said that
Yes.
he's wanted to, and now he's getting the chance to be a movie, so he's gonna jump on it. I don't think Death Stranding
Of
is gonna
course.
make a good movie at all. The whole point of Death Stranding is connecting with other people. Like that whole
That's true
game
too.
is about like, and I have played Death Stranding. I have not finished it, but I have played Death Stranding. And I think a part of it is the immersion of our world being in it. Obviously, it can work in the same sense of like something like The Last of Us or something, but the real marvel of playing a game like Death Stranding was if I played before Brandon and Brandon was stuck. He had no idea what to do. He had no idea where to go. He needed a ladder to climb a mountain. I would be leaving that stuff behind for the next person to come up and use it. That's how you play Death Stranding. It is literally, it's kind of like Journey. It's all about the connection of like people. And I don't know how you portray that in a movie. You don't. You get the plot points, sure, but there's something like I do believe that a reason that people who love Death Stranding will defend it so much is because when it happened to me, I actually found something. I was stuck and Rodrigo had left something behind and I was able to find it and it helped me move on. And like that's the point of a game like Death Stranding. Yeah, sure, it has a lot of famous actors in it, etc. But I have no idea how it would work as a movie. It'd be fine, I guess, but whatever. I think it just kind of takes away from the point of the game by making it a film.
Well, you always lose something when you take one form of media to another. It has to change by just that nature of that. Whether it becomes better or worse for it is just we have to wait and see. But I think based on what you're saying, I think yeah, no, I agree. I think it's going to lose a lot being translated to movie. It could still be good though. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Naughty Dog, I'm moving along. I know it's we got
Yes.
very little time left. Naughty Dog, They had an update on The Last of Us Online. Short version, they not doing it no more. Long version, I'll tell ya. So, there's no easy way to say this. We've made the incredible difficult decision to stop development on The Last of Us Online. We know the news will be tough for many, especially our dedicated The Last of Us faction community. We've been following your multiplayer ambitions ardently. We're equally crushed at the studio as we were looking forward to putting it in your hands. We wanted to share with you some background of how we came to this decision. The multiplayer team has been in pre-production with this game since we were working on The Last of Us Part 2. That was what, 2018,
2017? I came out, when The Last of Us Part 2?
Mm-hmm.
That released 2020, but it's...
Oh, 2020? Damn, okay.
Yeah.
As a multiplayer team, the multiplayer team has been in production, pre-production on The Last of Us 2, crafting an experience we felt was unique and had tremendous potential. As the multiplayer team iterated on their concept for The Last of Us Online during this time, their vision crystallized, the gameplay got more refined and satisfying, we were enthusiastic about the direction in which we were headed. Ramping up to full production, the massive scope of our ambition became clear. To release and support The Last of Us Online, we'd have to put all our studio resources behind supporting post-launch content for years to come, severely impacting development on future single-player games. So we had two paths in front of us, become a solely live-service game studio, or continue to focus on single-player narrative games that have defined Naughty Dog's heritage. We're immensely proud of everyone at the studio that touched the project, the learning, blah, 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 whatever. There's your description. They decided that they weren't going to go forward with it because essentially it would force them to be a live service studio just to keep up with the ambition that they had for The Last of Us The Last of Us multiplayer, The Last of Us Online. Sorry. My question to you guys, is this expected? Is this unexpected? I feel like we all kind of expected this because we've talked about it before. Can it be saved? Is there too much bad will going on with Naughty Dog? How do you feel about them canceling so that they wouldn't become a live service studio? Is the reasoning valid? Thoughts?
Well, it's definitely not unexpected because the writing has been on the wall for this cancellation for quite a while. That's for dang sure. This whole game, this whole Last of Us Online multiplayer game, it's weird because its very existence is kind of circumstantial because, for context, for people who don't know, the original The Last of Us game that came out on PlayStation 3 had that multiplayer mode, and it was very... Last of Us is very much a product of its time in which games that were designed to be single player had to have some kind of multiplayer because, oh no, the player base won't stick with the game if it doesn't have some kind of multiplayer component. Uncharted got it. A lot of games that were single player focused just got multiplayer tacked in. And so that was the case for Last of Us. And yet, while most people will remember The Last of Us for being that great single player experience, the multiplayer wasn't bad. I've played it, and it does have a following. It was fine. I liked it. It's not what I came to the game for, but when I touched it for a little while, it was fine. And so, you know, Last of Us Part 2, I guess the expectation was that, you know, you're going to, of course, follow up to the single player story, but also have that. So the whole creation of this Last of Us Online game that was created was just to assuage fears that, oh no, you're not including a big thing that was in the original that you kind of didn't want anyway. Why do you say so?
I don't think it was to assuage fans. I think they wanted to do this. And they
decided No. I'm not saying that they deceptively announced this. I'm saying that like they did it separately so they could focus on that single player game while giving it was less to where the first game, like the multiplayer felt tacked on kind of, even if it was good. Whereas the second game, they wanted to like let it stand on its own so it doesn't feel like the afterthought. See. So it could have a proper means to grow. So that's why they announced it when they did, while making sure so people who bought Last of Us Part 2 wouldn't feel like they were shortchanged, that there was that multiplayer experience coming. So the announcement of it, like, there are some people who are saying, oh, you never intended to release it. No, they obviously did. There's plenty of documentation that shows that this game was in development. It's literally everything they said, that the game was a victim of feature creep where it was getting too big for its own good and it was going to have to be a live service game. Or so they felt. And I think that's my main problem with this whole thing. That they're correct. If they made this a live service game, it would absolutely throw a monkey wrench into their single player games that they're making, which is clearly their focus. So on that much, I agree with them. I agree that if dedicating time to this would have just through their single player. That's not clearly not what they want. So they made the right decision in that regard. But I have to question if whether or not it was needed to be a live service game in the first place. Like, you can make a fun multiplayer game that doesn't necessarily have to be something that you dedicate 5+ years development for. You can just make a really fun multiplayer game, maybe 1 or 2 DLC, but doesn't need to be like routinely updated for like 5 years. I think the idea to cancel it just because they felt it needed to be live service was ultimately short-sighted. Not the idea of, you're right, no live service games because that won't help their single player business, but the fact that it had to be a live service game to even exist is what I take offense to. I just don't think it had to be.
I completely agree. Like, I 100% agree with you. Nobody asked for this to be a huge live service game. Nobody asked for y'all to be in pre-production development at the same time and, like, come out with this outcome. Like, y'all kept telling us over and over, it's coming, it's coming. You showed us, you know, concept art before the show. Hell, the game done came. The game getting a remake on PS5. The show is coming, gone. The show about to get a second season. And what the fuck? Now y'all are like, oh, it's too late. It was too late 4 years ago. Like, what? And there was no reason that this had to be a live set. Like, nobody asked for that. I completely agree with you, Brandon. Nobody asked for that. Just give us a multiplayer, like, title on the side. I don't even know why you didn't just pair it with the fucking game. Like, there is no reason they couldn't have paired a multiplayer session with the regular game. Like, that's all people wanted. That's literally all they wanted.
And that would have justified it. That would have justified it more. Coming with the Last of Us, like, for example, Last of Us Part 2.
Yes.
If it was that like for whatever reason, they thought they needed to be bigger than that, and that's why they decided to release it separate. And then it got too big, and now we can't release it. So, you know, you're kind of shot. You 100% shot yourself in the foot. The best case scenario is, you know, whatever, maybe 2 or 3 years, they announce Last of Us Part 3. And what they were going to do for that multiplayer kind of finds its way onto Last of Us Part 3 in a much simplified and lower free feature creep version, where it's not a live service game. And you just got kind of what you have with Last of Us Part 1, where it's just like a fun multiplayer mode you can play with your friends if you want to.
I've lost faith.
That's the best case scenario.
Because
I have to. So I have to. But
What a waste of time and money and resources just to cancel last minute. Who's the project lead on this game? You have restrictions. Pull back. Like, there's a point where you see where this game is going and you salvage it and release it for what it is without having to go down this road of canceling it. Like, okay.
There just seems to be some bad business decisions, like, at the core of all this. Some people are saying that it might have been Sony who was demanding it, like, be a feature. But that doesn't make sense, because if it was Sony, they would demand that it get released. Like, this whole, it'll make the money. It's like, oh, well, this whole, it'll compromise our vision of making single-player games. Sony's like, bitch, I don't care. I want money. Like, so I don't believe Sony was the one that said, okay, if you make it a live service game, oh, you're okay, cancel it? No, they just wouldn't do that. If they said they wanted a live service game would be coming out, period. Yeah,
I completely agree. All right, we have 8 minutes. We have a story and a question that might take a little while. So we are going to blast this thing out. Last news story. Netflix anime is recreating the story of the original One Piece manga, starting from the East Blue arc. The One Piece is coming to Netflix. Brandon is going to tell us about this announcement and whether...
I'm very confused.
It is ultimately necessary. Brandon, please, take it away.
Yeah, so this is essentially... I guess the best way to compare this is like Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. Or, no, I'm sorry, there's a better comparison. Dragon Ball Z Kai is a better example. Because for those who don't know, Dragon Ball Z Kai is essentially taking the original anime, remastering it, and cutting out the filler and, you know, redoing the dialogue to make everything flow better. So what this is very similar to that, where it's taking the original arc of One Piece, giving it modern animation, and essentially fixing the pacing so it better fits the manga, cutting off all the fluff, basically. That's more or less what it is. Now, obviously, the big thing is like whether this is necessary or not. The main anime is still going. It is approaching its final saga, but like that'll still be a few years. One Piece is nearing the end, but also not really nearing the end. So the question is like, why did they announce this now and not wait until the anime was done? I had to think about this for a while, and ultimately talking to our mutual friend David on Twitter kind of helped me gather my thoughts on this situation. And really, it's just because I think they feel like the iron is hot, because we just recently got the live action One Piece adaptation on Netflix, and that did crazy numbers view wise. Like, it got a lot of people into One Piece.
It was also really
and
good.
The next, yeah, it was very good. I really enjoyed it. Can't wait for season two. But yeah, it got a lot of people saying, wow, man, I want to see more. So, you know, the anime is also Netflix. It's up to a certain point. And there's some people that have really gotten into an anime. I have a close friend that she started watching anime with her boyfriend, and now they are almost done with all the episodes that are currently on Netflix right now, which is a lot. It's like over 300 episodes that are on there, and they did it. But then there's a lot of people who start watching the anime and are like, I can't do this. This is just too many episodes. So there's a demand that I guess needs to be filled with the anime. Like, they want to have something that like won't last. It'll still be long. This is fucking One Piece, but like not as long. Like, they can probably with this version tell the story in a lot less episodes in much more modern animation, as opposed to, you know, the 90s animation that you get if you like start from the very, very beginning. So yeah, it is. It's very weird to have the reboot anime coming on the same time as when the anime is still going. But I think ultimately the timing feels as right as I think it's ever going to be. Because if you wait until the main anime is done, you may not have that issue, or that interest is the word I'm looking for. And people just want One Piece now. Like, it's still going to be a while for this to come out. So hopefully for Netflix and Wit Studio's sake, there will still be people who want to watch the anime One Piece by that point. Maybe that point season two will be out and interest will come back up. But who knows? But anyway, yeah.
All right, that's my thoughts on it. 4 minutes left. So, I'm sorry, before I move on, does anyone else have any thoughts on One Piece?
I was going to argue it, but it's going to take me more than 4 minutes, so no.
Would you like to give a summary of your argument?
Saying that this reimagination is to get newer fans into it by cutting stuff out isn't accurate, because the problem with One Piece, whether you cut things out or not, is that it is a very, very long story. So it is going to remain a very, very long anime, even if it's remade with parts cut out.
I don't think they cut out important stuff, but anyway.
And so it's still going to stay as long as it is.
No, it won't.
Yes.
All right, well, like, thank you for that one sentence of your explanation. We're going to move on, and you guys can have this conversation after the podcast. last question for you guys. Because it is the end of the year for us. No more podcast for 2023. What did you think of gaming in the year 2023? Everybody gets 1 minute. Starting with Christy.
There's a lot of great releases.
Like?
I thought that
you
was have a minute.
You gotta fill your minute with what you think of gaming in the year 2023. Let's hear it.
You had games starting from the beginning, such as like Forspoken, Fire Emblem Engage, Octopath Traveler 2, Final Fantasy Data Rhythm. You had Tears of the Kingdom. You had Resident Evil 4 Remake, Baldur's Gate, Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 16, Street Fighter 6. You got Pikmin 4. I think I'm missing other games, but yeah, you had a nice, good range of games coming out this year. Like, there was probably something for someone.
Do you think it was one of the best years in gaming?
I mean, it was really good. I don't know if it would be the best.
Any standout titles from this year? For you specifically?
There were a lot of good games, and I'm still not done going through all of them.
Dang, she didn't say Detective Pikachu Returns. I was fishing for it. She didn't say Detective Pikachu Returns.
But you have to admit that game was.
I haven't played it yet, so
The plot point went, the plot went to places that I didn't expect for it to, and I might have cried a couple times here and there.
So what? Like, yes, then it was worth
So
it.
yeah, it was a great year for gaming, and I mean, I finished the Pikmin game, and my did I even finish Resident Evil 4 Remake? No, I'm still stuck in the same place, but
But
I
you
finished
breezed
Tears of
through
the
Final Fantasy
Kingdom.
16 and Tears of the Kingdom. Okay, Brandon, how was the year of gaming in 2023?
Pretty good, I would say. It was hard to keep track with a lot of these big games, honestly. I think I did pretty well, all things considered. The games that I was really interested in, I managed to put some decent time in, finished a few of them. Like, I'm glad I got through Final Fantasy 16, for example, Fire Emblem Engage, some of those longer games. But there's still a lot of games that I haven't finished and haven't even started. Like, that just speaks to just how stacked this was for gaming, that there's so many games that I would have played that if there just wasn't so many, how many other games that are out that I would have gotten to. So that's a happy problem to have, but it's still a problem. But no, 2023, absolutely, in terms of game releases, was really good. It's one of the strongest years. But I have to mention this. I have to mention this. It just, and I hate to put a downer on this, but like, all these really good game releases, and we have all these stories of layoffs that we just keep talking about on the podcast. Like, it just doesn't feel right, bro, that like we have all these great games coming out that are just doing somehow, despite all these games coming out, they're all managing to, for the most part, doing really well sales wise. And we can't keep these people, man. I just, we get the game industry, like behind the scenes, needs to do better, because obviously in front of the scenes, they're doing fantastic. You know, that just needs to be equalized. And that's how I feel about 2023.
Great, Gabe. How did you feel about gaming in 2023?
I felt like it was a very good year, especially after the kind of lull that we had after, during COVID, where it was like everything kept getting pushed back. It was like this year there was definitely a game for almost every single type of video game player out there, like, to enjoy. It was from start to finish. I mean, Christy and Brandon have already said, January brought us Engage. We got Forspoken, the Dead Space remake. And it's just like
Oh,
it's almost like at every point of the year, even if you weren't super excited for something, you were getting something.
yeah.
And so it was 10 out of 10. Probably one of the best gaming years in recent years.
Okay, yeah, I completely agree. I think you guys said it best. I think there was something every month that I was like, yeah, I'm getting this. I think this year was really good for highlighting smaller games. I think there were a lot of really great indie games this year. I think there were a lot of really great smaller games this year that deserve more highlights than they got. I think there were a lot of overlooked games this year that were amazing, like Octopath Traveler 2. I think this year was great for fighters. Fighters are still coming out. Granblue Fantasy Versus Relink just came out, like, or is coming out, I don't remember. But Street Fighter 6 changed the game, literally. Resident Evil 4 Remake was awesome. You got stuff like Alan Wake 2 that just came out of nowhere and people are raving about it. No. Sorry. my dog. She was about to do something she wasn't supposed to do. Things like Baldur's Gate 3 that we had. I keep going back to, like, Diablo 4 was great when it came out. We had a conversation of what Starfield was going to be versus what it became. And even though not everybody likes it, it is a decent enough game. We had a conversation earlier in the year about what we thought Game of the Year was going to be, and lo and behold, it ended up being Baldur's Gate 3 at the end of the year, and that's just a testament for all the Super Mario Wonder came out of nowhere as well as another one that people really loved and talked about. So yeah, I think this was one of the best years of gaming, and I think there was just so many surprises, so many smaller titles, so many bigger titles that we weren't expecting, and it was just really awesome. And with that, I think it's time for us to go. Happy 2024, everybody! By the time you listen to this,
Happy
because it's coming out for
New Year!
2024,
We'll see y'all next
happy
year.
holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah, however you celebrate. If you don't celebrate,
Happy
happy
Boxing Day.
vacation time off for the holidays. Have a good one. We love you all. We'll see you in 2024.
Bigger
Goodbye,
and better than ever.
everybody. Yes, or exactly the same. But better. All right, bye everybody. Good night.
Bye.